Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you're an avid social media user, and it's likely you've stumbled across the tradwife trend taking TikTok by storm. The trend, which has been dubbed the Real Housewives of the Internet, is mostly young women promoting the art of homemaking, raising children, baking, keeping a tidy home while the husband goes to work. And this, of course, raises all kinds of questions in terms of enforced gender roles and the movement's far-right roots. Now, joining me to discuss the tradwife phenomenon is Professor of Digital Media and Gender at DCU, Debbie Ging. Debbie, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Luke. Nice to talk to you.
Debbie, let me say, when I heard the word tradwife, I thought it was music, strangely, like traditional music, but it's not quite that, is it? Tell us what it's all about.
No, so it's short for traditional wife, and it's a relatively new online social media phenomenon which describes traditional wives. So women who have chosen to return to traditional gender roles in the home. It's a very heteronormative phenomenon. This is very much about, you know, men and women, husbands and wives. But the influencers who call themselves trad wives, you know, proactively advocate for women to return to the home, to give up their careers. So there's an undercurrent there, or a subtext, which is quite anti-feminist and which kind of rejects feminism as something that has made women unhappy, and that their true vocation is to have babies and serve their husbands, basically.
It doesn't sound great, does it, after all this progress we've made? And how common is it, Debbie? Is it emerging as a trend in the US mainly, I presume, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it is a predominantly American phenomenon, and it's very much you know, caught up in the context of American politics and the culture wars. So most of the, you know, the big tradwife figures are Americans, from, you know, the more political Hannah Pearl Davies, who's very overtly anti-feminist, you know, to the more kind of lifestyle influencer types like Hannah Nealman, whose trademark is Ballerina Farm. And, you know, she advocates for a very kind of little house on the prairie lifestyle. She has 8 children, etc. Right. So some of them are much more kind of glamorized and beautiful. And at the other end of the spectrum, you have kind of more politicized ideological advocates of tradwife subservience, anti-feminism, etc.
Right. And as ever, it's a social media phenomenon, is it? And is it about monetizing the whole thing, it sounds like? So these women are kind of influencers, are they? And they're trying to monetize in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the kind of paradox about it, because they're advocating for a simple return to a kind of pre-modern traditional life where you're living at one with nature, you know, cooking food from scratch, having your own chickens, growing your own vegetables, etc. So it's supposed to be this very, very simple, natural pre-modern life. But of course, these are huge enterprises. You know, they're actually running a huge company, and it's very, very lucrative. So, you know, there's a massive kind of paradox there, in that they're advocating for, you know, giving up career, not earning, becoming dependent on your husband. But these influencers themselves are making huge amounts of money, and in fact are running, you know, a very complex business, if you like.
And making loads of money out of it, by the sounds of things, as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How are people responding then? Obviously enough, Debbie, there is a response. There were 600 million views, I saw, on one of the TikTok hashtags, for instance. So yeah. How are women in general responding? Is there a backlash against it, I would hope, for example?
I mean, in some cases, yes. You know, the adherence to this, or the interest in it, is because it ties in with certain people's you know, political sensibilities, and it's, you know, it's very much part of a kind of anti-woke sensibility. So it can fulfill that kind of, you know, very traditional anti-feminist, anti-LGBTQ, anti-alternative families. It can be very ideological, and it taps into that for sure. But I don't think that's necessarily the only appeal. I think, you know, it's a fantasy of an escape, I suppose, from the pressures of the modern world. And much like the domestic goddess trend in the early noughties, you know, it's kind of hypnotic in some ways. It's a bit like some of the other stuff that people watch to relax or to just kind of decompress. A lot [S2] Right. [S1] Of it is quite hypnotic in that they're, you know, they're using, you know, they're mixing food and they're talking in these very soothing voices. So I don't think it's always, you know, that the appeal is always necessarily political, or it means yeah. that you're a hardcore, you know, conservative if you watch this. I just think, you know, there is a kind of a fantasy appeal to some of it as well, even though, you know, the underlying agenda is pretty regressive, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking Stepford Wives here, am I? Is that the kind
Absolutely.
Of the image
but it's,
that they
it's
have?
It's more kind of bucolic and idealized. It's quite a kind of pastoral imagery, and you know, white dresses and aprons, and it's more innocent almost. It's conjuring up a very kind of natural aesthetic of kind of purity as well. There's lots of subtext. It's very kind of white,
right.
Settler, you know, pre-modern kind of culture vibes that are going on.
All right. It sounds like a cross then, as you said, between Little House on the Prairie and the Stepford Wives, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
In a strange kind of way. I mean, it's not harmless then. I mean, it sounds as if there's a sort of a sinister aspect to this that you touched on there.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it depends on how you know, interpret it. I think it definitely is tied to, it fits very well with a certain vision of the far right, which is about getting women back into the home, that this is women's natural role, you know, biologically ordained role, that women should be dependent on men, they should be homemakers, that they're not suited to be out in the working world, and that men are breadwinners, protectors, and also the head of the home. So it's a very, very problematic discourse from some of them. You know, where they maintain that a man's house is his castle, and as his wife, you need to treat him as a king. You need to make him feel respected. So there's a lot of, you know, unequal power dynamics going on in a lot of what they say. Some of them go so far as to equate feminism with evil and say that, you know, giving women careers was the work of Satan. I mean, they're obviously the more extreme ones. Some of them just kind of focus on very idyllic scenarios and you know, baking and beautiful children, etc. So there's a kind of spectrum of more and less overtly political rhetoric going on here, but certainly it fits with a lot of the stuff we're seeing in the manosphere, you know, anti-feminist men's rights activists who, you know, are also advocating for, you know, the reinstatement of men as breadwinners and protectors and, you know, the head of the household kind of thing. So it is the flip side of that coin in many ways.
Does it worry you? I mean, look at America at the moment. Things have gone backwards for women in many examples. And lots of examples of this.
And it's coming out of that. It's coming out of that culture. It's certainly not something that, you know, that came out of European culture. It's very, very bound up in the American culture wars. But of course, you know, because of the nature of the global nature of social media, other cultures then, you know, import these ideas and kind of localize them, and they can fit quite well in, you know, in other contexts, because Right. they, you know, they're kind of fantasies of some kind of pre-modern era, which never existed, of course, but, you know, conservatives are always looking backwards and, you know, like to fantasize that there were these kind of perfect bucolic times when everybody was living at one with nature and in harmony with the world. And, you know, what that really is a kind of a fantasy to return to a time that was pre-feminist, that was pre-multicultural as well. So there, you know, there is this definitely a very strong kind of subtext of deep conservatism going on here.
Right. Is there any benign side to it at all? Like, presumably some women might like it, not necessarily to give up their careers or whatever, but it sounds to me as if it's a bit of a slight fantasy world, as you're saying, and it's okay to watch it, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, of course, but, you know, it's not to say that there's, you know, anything wrong with making a choice of wanting to be a homemaker. It's the kind of political context out of which this comes, and the messages that are kind of underpinning it that are the issue.
Yeah.
And the kind of, you know, it's a very, they're advocating and promoting this lifestyle as, you know, as women's kind of natural destiny, even rather than as a kind of choice. It's yeah. like, this is what you're born to do.
Right.
You know, that's the issue.
Which we all agree is a lot of nonsense. But I've just come from my lab this morning and three fantastic women doing PhDs. They would hate this, I imagine, and they'd be very insulted exactly. by it, wouldn't they? They'd be devastated in a way, at least annoyed. Is it coming to Ireland, Debbie? Could you give us any hint of that happening in Ireland?
Well, I'm not aware of any Irish tradwife influencers, and there may be some out there, because I don't actually, you know, watch much of this content unless I have to for research purposes.
Yeah.
But no, I think a lot of people are watching. You know, probably a lot of Irish people are watching Hannah Nealman and influences like Nara Smith and you know, I do think they are popular.
Right.
But again, we cannot necessarily presume we know exactly what the appeal is. And I'm not sure for some people who have, you know, very right-wing politics, this is going to appeal to them. But yeah. I don't think it means that, it necessarily means if you engage in some of this kind of cottagecore fantasy stuff that you're necessarily right-wing. You know, I don't think it necessarily means that.
Debbie, yeah. thank you very much for joining us to discuss the phenomenon of the tradwife.
Thanks, Luke. Bye.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.